Welcome, everyone, to Dirt Doctor Radio. There'll be no greenwashing here, just accurate advice on products and techniques that are healthy to use, save money, are really good for the environment, and just work better in every way. Tips and suggestions from the listeners are encouraged, so call us today at 866-444-DIRT. That's 866-444-3478. Now it's time to learn about what truly is green living. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with me is 866-444-3478. Logan and her husband, Bo, in Mexico right now. Bo's parents have a place down there. Logan and Bo spend quite a bit of time having fun, taking advantage of the very nice weather. Their other place you've heard me talk about is in Prescott, Arizona, and it's under a bunch of snow right now, so it's pretty good choice. We're going to get to see it in the not-too-distant future. Really looking forward to it. Driving down there, a lot of people say, oh, is that dangerous? Well, no, can be, but if you're smart about it, not really at all. It's kind of related to that. Somebody called in about using some kind of plants that would stop traffic on the border, and I want to know what plants could do that. And I mentioned trifoliate orange, and Mary Rose thought I was kidding. That really is a plant that works as a border, a barrier. It wouldn't work on the, you know, along the Rio Grande or anything, but it would work if you have a property where you don't want people cutting across. It will stop animals, traffic to a degree because it's so well armed. It has a dangerous thorns on it. They're huge. It's the trifoliate orange is what the rootstock is on a lot of citrus, and it's just tough as nails. It'll grow just about anywhere. It will have fruit. The fruit is inedible. It would probably, this is something I've never done that I really need to do. I need to grow it and experiment with the fruit, using it to make essential oil type product, you know, for insect repellency and maybe even killing insects. It may be the best plant of all for that. But if you tried to eat it, you would pucker up pretty badly. So anyway, that's the deal on trifoliate orange. It's available. You can buy it out there. It's fairly easy to find. You may have to order mail order or have somebody bring it in for you, but it's definitely around out there. I want to talk about the buckeye seed. I forgot to do two in the first hour. I'm sorry about that. I tend to do that. First, though, Real Time Pain Relief is a sponsor of ours, and we were supposed to talk about it in the second hour, and I got all tied up in other things, but they are still offering a special chance to get some of the product to try this pain, not medicine, pain relief product that is terrific for a dollar. So just go to dirtdoctor.com, click on the button over there to the right, the words that say real-time pain relief, and it tells you how to get, how to access the information to get you a sample of it for $1 bill. Give it a shot. And then the other thing for you, and by the way, telephone number is 866. We've got open lines all of a sudden here at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. We visited back in the summer with the owners of the state champion ginkgo tree. You know, I have a big one. I've got the one that holds the record without any question for growing the fastest of any of them in the world, I'm sure. But the largest one, largest physical specimen in the state of Texas right now, and there are some big ones across the country, but this is the biggest one in Texas, and it's a big ginkgo. It's in New Boston, Texas, which is over in East Texas, and the owners there, we had a great visit with them, heard the history of the tree. Unfortunately, they had one that was even bigger that they somebody before them, I think, before their ownership of the place, took down because it was a girl. It was a female ginkgo, and they didn't like the fruit. Mine is, too. I don't mind it until I'm in the middle of dealing with it and the dogs start eating it. That's the only thing that, you know, worries you a little bit. And it's not a huge problem. It doesn't seem to be. But I like it from the standpoint that we can give the seed away and the seedlings and get other people growing the same plant. I don't think that you can tell for sure whether a ginkgo is going to be a male or a female. Maybe forever, but for sure during the first 15 years or so, because mine was planted as male and it's not. So, and I've heard other people say that. There is research on the books out there from United States, but more importantly from some other countries, indicating that other people have seen what I've seen, and that is that the sex of the ginkgo can change from male to female. Some of the indications are that only a portion of the canopy will. It appears that all of the canopy of mine has converted over to female, if it wasn't female to begin with. We don't know for sure, but it was sold to the contractor and to me as a certified male, you know, hybrid ginkgo. But anyway, what I was going to tell you, when we visited over there and talked about their ginkgo, they showed me this beautiful buckeye that they have, red buckeye, and a big one. And they had some fresh seed that they had harvested, and these seed are big. They're almost as big as a golf ball. Really pretty. Two different colors of brown. And they gave me some to plant here, and I gave Bob Webster some. He's got them going in San Antonio. Haven't talked to him. He's been on, he and Roberto have been traveling on a buying trip, so I haven't had time to talk to him about where they stand with their greenhouse operations and stuff. I'll try to do that this week. But mine are doing really well with a caveat. I planted about 6 or 7 pots of these buckeyes, and some of them I countersunk, like I learned from Dr. Carl Whitcomb, to plant. In other words, put the acorn down sideways, and you put half of it in the potting soil and half of it still showing, and it's a real good way to propagate acorns. Doesn't seem to be a very good way to propagate the buckeyes. The ones that I put down in the ground and covered with soil are up a foot tall or even taller now, and the ones that I countersunk like acorns are trying to sprout, but they are limping along. So I think that maybe the larger seed like it, maybe certain varieties, certain species of plants like it better to be down in the ground. We've always said in the past, as kind of a rule of thumb, that you plant anything you're planting, whether it's a bulb or an acorn or a seed of some kind or a buckeye in this case, you plant it about twice the depth of the dimension of the seed. In other words, if the seed's an inch across, you plant 2 inches deep in the soil, you know, and whatever it is. And that seems to be a pretty good thing to do. And it was definitely what would have been better with the buckeye seed. But we'll keep you posted. I'll do pictures of it and show you that whole affair. It's kind of an interesting sort of thing. All right, let's talk a little in Howard's Garden. Hadn't done that all morning. And we got open lines if you want to jump on and talk about anything else at 866-444-3478. Related to In Howard's Garden, the latest article that I wrote for the Dallas Morning News is about tree trimming, pruning. And I came up with the idea of having it based from the idea that deadwood needs to be removed from your trees on some kind of a regular basis. And I talked about the fact that the first thing that you need to understand is that trees in general really don't need to be thinned out, especially thinned out heavily, on a regular annual basis. That surprises a lot of people, and a lot of people in the tree business probably don't like that I say that, because they like it because of, you know, regular tree work for them. But most trees do not need thinning every year, with the exception of maybe the dead wood and maybe some damaged limbs that got damaged by lightning strike or by wind or ice storm or something like that, or they're rubbing or whatever. So I wrote the column about what should be trimmed on your trees, and kind of had it specifically related to deadwood. So I'll talk to you about it in a little bit more detail when I get back. I think we may turn that into a newsletter as well as Dallas Morning News also. So we'll do that right after this. 866-444-3478. I'll be back.
Azomite is a naturally occurring organic soil amendment for improving root systems, plant vigor, and crop quality. Azomite is easy to blend with other fertilizers to create a complete soil feeding program. Add Azomite on your garden, lawn, ornamentals, and trees from planting to maturity. It comes in a variety of grades. Azomite can also be added to animal feed for chickens, livestock, or horses. Order Azomite by calling Mike at 301-219-7540 or going to azomite.com/results. That's 301-219-7540 or azomite.com/results.
What if you could be younger and stronger for longer? Many experts agree that regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the future of medicine and even your personal health and longevity. So if you or someone you know is suffering from chronic pain or dealing with other health challenges, then stem cell therapy just may be the solution. It's simple, safe, natural, effective, and affordable. So before you operate, before you medicate, now you can regenerate.
I shattered my elbow, was experiencing chronic pain. Nothing seemed to help. I said yes to stem cell therapy, and now I'm pain-free. Range of motion improved, and I'm able to do things I never could have imagined. I have my life back.
Book your consultation now. Call today at 469-600-8794 and receive a $200 consultation free of charge. That's 469-600-8794 for the free consultation, or go to AchieveVitality.net.
Bring a dose of nature indoors with the newest MoMA organic plant foods loaded with natural ingredients and millions of beneficial microbes to grow bigger, more beautiful plants. And with this MoMA's new Easy Dose cap, you'll get a perfect pour every time. Just flip open the cap, turn the bottle over, and pour in the pre-measured dose. Then fill the watering can with water and feed the plants. No measuring, no mess. Just flip, fill, and feed. Espoma Organica, natural in the garden since 1929. Visit espoma.com to learn more or to find a retailer near you.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically, because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea, or using rose petals in teas or salads, is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garajuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garajuice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The Medina Corporation, led by the Stuart Franke family, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and many soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator stimulates the soil biology and plant roots. And all the Medina products help all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. The Medina products help you spend your money wisely, increasing production while improving the environment. All Medina products are free of toxic chemicals, including the commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus. For the proper care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Conveniently available at many hardware, nursery, and feed stores, Medina Natural Organic Products are a Dirt Doctor recommendation. 50 years young and still environmentally friendly, it's MedinaAg.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All right, back to the show. Telephone number 866-444-3478. The Deadwood, finishing that talk on that before we go to the next topic, which is bed preparation and planting. Really important time to talk about that a little bit here. But the Deadwood ran into one thing I hadn't even thought about before myself while I was doing the column, and that is in trimming Deadwood out of a tree, which is important. The reason it's important is not so much from a horticultural standpoint, being better for the tree. It just can become a dangerous thing or a damaging kind of thing if you allow limbs to be dead and there any size to them at all. Their falling can be dangerous. Dogs, people, you know, pets of any kind, knocking holes in the roof. Ask me how I know that one. We had I was a little cavalier about our great big old American elm that's back behind the greenhouse and dog run area and everything, and a limb, dead limb, fell and knocked a hole in the storage, the utility part of our greenhouse and dog run. I hadn't even noticed it, and it had water coming in and everything else from the damage. So it can be serious. Falling a car, you know, damage other things, the large stuff. And then the small stuff is just kind of messy. So doing some deadwood removal, which is totally natural. Any healthy tree is going to have deadwood from time to time. But doing it a little bit on an annual basis is probably a good idea. You don't have to get all of it out, but at least keep up with it to keep it from having your trees from having any big dead limbs. Well, question comes up quite a bit. If you trim deadwood out now, how do you tell what's dead in a cedar elm or a red oak or, you know, any other deciduous tree? And so as I was writing the column, I was thinking about it a little bit, and I was getting some stems and some branches and twigs and taking pictures and so forth. And something that I hadn't thought of that much is that you can, there are a couple of different ways you can tell whether it's dead or not, other than just, you know, I can see a limb and I just feel that I can tell by general that it looks like it's a dead limb. But for the novice that hadn't worked with trees a lot, there sometimes will be a color difference, sometimes lighter, sometimes darker, and you'll kind of have to learn that from experience depending on what kind of tree it is. For example, Japanese maples are really easy to tell dead wood in, because the dead wood will tend to be a lighter, kind of a manila folder color, and the live stuff will be darker in color, sometimes brown, sometimes gray, sometimes green, you know, in Japanese maples. And so that's pretty easy. And I go through my small ones. I've got one that's 45 years old now. It's in a container, a Crimson Queen, and I've got some other dwarf ones and of orangeola in the pot in the front, and they all have a little bit of dead in every year. And I don't even use pruning shears a lot of times. I'll just reach in with my hand and snap off the ones that are obviously dead that are that lighter color. So that's a tip for you on the Japanese maple, a really easy way to get the dead out and clean it up, and just it's probably good for the plant to get the dead out of there anyway. So on larger stuff, the bigger limbs, like on a red oak or an elm or ash or something like that, the limbs that are dead will be stiffer. If you look at your tree and you see a little movement by the wind, or you can almost kind of feel it, a stiffness to the branches that are dead. They're just not going to be as pliable and moving. They're much more stable. The other thing, which is a pretty good dead giveaway on a lot of plants that's the one I hadn't thought about before specifically, is that if the bare limbs are still alive, they'll have buds. They'll have swelled buds that are distinctive. Now, certain trees have more distinctive buds than others, obviously, but I showed a picture of a red oak twigs that are dead and red oak twigs that were alive, and the difference is very easy to tell between the dead and the live, because the alive ones, the buds are much more dominant. The dead limbs, they'll go out, the twigs will just, they'll have buds, but they'll be shriveled and very, very small and not distinctive at all. So that'll help you a little bit on deciding what to cut away. Not essential that you do it, but it's one of those winter things that it's good to do as soon as you have time to do it. There's another thing on trees I want to talk about. One is the base where exposure has been done, and the other is the ground covers and things around the base of the tree. Let's talk about that in a minute. But right now, let's go to Rome, Georgia, and talk to Dennis. Hello, Dennis.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Garrett.
Sure.
Yes, sir. I want to know, is it a good time to trim any kind of shrubs this year before my wife kills me?
It depends on what the shrub is, Dennis, and what you're trying to do. What kind of shrubs are you dealing with?
I don't
know
what they are. It was here when we bought the house, but she's getting kind of angry at me.
Well, if it's a question of just reducing the size, you're not trying to prune to create a different shape.
No. Just cut the long stuff out.
Just reduce the size.
Go ahead.
You can do it, but it's better. We'll help you some. It's better to wait until just before spring, as the buds are starting to swell and the new growth is about to begin. It's better to do it then, not now.
Oh, good. You said not now. Thank you so much.
Okay. I'll talk about it more when I come back, so just listen on the radio, okay?
Thank you so much, Mr. Gary.
All right. Thank you. I'll talk about that a little bit more as my pruning talk goes on when we come back. The telephone number is 866-444-3478.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping and delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these top-rated books by clicking on the Howard's Books button on the top of the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. That's DirtDoctor.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating the certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Real quickly, finishing up on the trees, and then we'll go to bed prep and planting, but I got a photograph from one of the listeners that I was just looking at a little bit ago of their crepe myrtle. They had exposed the base of their crepe myrtle pretty dramatically, and after the rain it was holding water, and the question was, too much exposure? And the answer is no. Anytime the tree is buried too deeply in the ground and you have to take the soil away to expose a flare, you're going to create a depression in the soil to a degree, unless it's on a slope or some strange situation. You know, we do it almost 100, we create that 100% of the time, and that depression can be anywhere from a few inches to many feet. The one that we've uncovered that has been the deepest of all the trees that I've been involved in uncovering, and the homeowner did it themselves, in this case, was the famous bur oak in Waco, and 10 feet of soil was taken off of the base of the tree. And the owner was an engineer, and he built a whole supportive system to keep it from caving in, and a deck on top and the whole deal. Generally, it's not that dramatic. Generally, it just leaves a little bit of a depression, a dish, that will hold water after a rain or after sprinkler system runs in a lot of cases, unless it's real sandy soil or whatever. And that's no problem. It's not anything to worry about in most cases, because it will evaporate, it'll drain away, it'll percolate through the soil and all that. If it, for whatever reason, doesn't drain in several days, you know, the soil is just not draining well and it stays wet, you can dig a ditch from the low side down to a lower point on the site and fill it full of gravel all the way to the surface, and it'll drain, you know, right away after rain. Won't be a problem at all. But most cases, you don't even need to do that. Very small percentage of the trees that have been exposed that we know about, that we have anything to do with, we haven't had to do that. A couple times it has had to be done. But remember this, when a tree depression, where the flare has been uncovered properly and the flare is exposed like it should be, but it has a depression and it holds water after a rain, it normally lasts for a day, maybe a little longer than that, and that's when it's going to have moisture against the flare. Before you did the work and there was soil there, it stayed moist all the time. That's the difference. That's the big deal. That staying moist all the time and keeping the air off of the bark, which is the flare is part of the trunk, it's not part of the root system. That's what slows down the growth, stresses the plant, and doesn't kill it, you know, right away, short term anyway, but it slows down the growth, it stresses the plant, it restricts flower production, it restricts fruit production, it restricts the growth potential of the plant. Everything about it's bad. Everything about exposing the flare is good. Worrying about the water that's around it for a short period of time is not a big deal. Now, the other thing about that same area, the flare, is this. This is the time to get out there, and I need to do it myself. I do it usually twice a year. Take the ground covers and any kind of plants that are growing on, up to and touching and covering the flare away. Pull them back. A lot of times, if you've already done it, it's easy to do because they've grown out up and they haven't rooted in real firmly, and you can pull it back and trim it with your trimmers and pull it back and see if the flare has been covered up again. Sometimes the flare will have been covered up again because of debris and dust and drainage and erosion came down on it or whatever. But it's an annual thing that you need to do. And this goes for people in the landscape business, commercial projects, as well as residential projects. You want to pull the ground covers and the vines that are growing up and touching the base of trees and other woody plants too, ornamental trees, big woody shrubs and things like that. Same thing. You don't want mulch, soil, or plants growing up and touching the trunk and growing up the trunk of the plants. You want to pull all that back and trim it away. And this is a really good time to do it because there's not that many other things to be done in the garden. It is an extremely important part of your basic maintenance program. By the way, we have calendars on the website about what to do every month, as well as in my book, The Organic Manual, which is my newest book that we did with Mother Earth News. If you don't have a copy of it, it's got the most updated details on everything, including the base work, the removal of flare covering, and treating the bases of trees in the Organic Manual. Here's Joy in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Joy.
Hi, Howard. I really have a problem. I have last year, with all that rain, and I'll preempt that by saying that I have done nothing but use corn gluten on my yard for 20 years, and it was always the prettiest yard in the whole neighborhood.
But
last year, with all the 12 or 14 inches or whatever amount of rain we had, my yard is covered with fungus, and I don't know what to do about it.
Wow. Have you been irrigating at all?
Well, I didn't irrigate last year because I didn't need to, but I've kept it green. But
this is all just from being wet from rain.
And I'm in a low section of my street,
mm-hmm.
and I know the water drains kind of down in there, and
yep.
it just stays, you know.
Yeah, it's been very, very unusual. Bob and I talk about it when I visit with him on his show all the time. This is the first time we've seen it this bad without any question at all. Do you have trees? Do you have shade and root competition also?
No.
Okay, just the turf problems?
Mm-hmm.
What I would do, Joy, is get some hydrogen peroxide, and you can do it now or you can wait a little closer to spring. I don't think it'll make a whole lot of difference. It might be better to wait till a little bit closer to spring. Get some hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store or one of the big box stores. Mix it 50-50 with water and spray it on and drench it in pretty well. Soak it into the soil pretty good. That's a liquid way of aerating the soil. And then start your organic fertilizer over again. If you've been using nothing but cornmeal, you might switch over to one of the other organic fertilizers, a blend like Medina or Maestro Grower, one of those, the Good Natured, one of those products.
Mm-hmm.
And the aeration combined with changing the fertilizer a little bit and just hoping it doesn't keep raining as much. When you're at the bottom of the hill, my backyard is the same way. My backyard has a lot of dead in the turf because it has just stayed too wet. I'm going to be replanting some myself.
Well, should I replant too? Should I have it scraped off and replant?
You might have to. If it stayed wet too long, it's gone anaerobic, and that's what brought the diseases in, and that's what will kill it. And it didn't matter whether you were treating with an organic disease control or not. Mother Nature just kind of overwhelming everything we can do in this case.
Well, should I start with, say, like lava sand and mulch and then my sod, or what do you suggest?
It doesn't do a whole lot of good to do bed preparation improvements to turf areas. If you do some lava sand and you do the hydrogen peroxide, that's about all I would do. If it used to grow good grass especially, which it sounds like it did.
I used to have the best lawn in the neighborhood.
Yeah, and then we'll just do everything on top of the soil later on. But as far as bed preparation under the new grass and everything, let's do only lava sand. You might put a little bit of azomite in there. Azomite is the other rock mineral that really has some great benefits. And then we'll do everything else on top.
Is that like green sand?
It's a natural rock material. It's a light color. It's not dark green, but it's in that same category. It's a natural material. It's dug out of the ground. It's just loaded with all kinds of trace minerals and microbes and stimulates.
And you spread that on top, and then the lava sand on with that.
Yeah, mix lava sand and azomite together, put it underneath, and put a little on top with the compost and organic fertilizer also when you're finished planting the new stuff.
Some compost too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll give it a shot.
Good luck. I got the same issue in the backyard.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give it a shot.
All right,
appreciate
Joy.
It.
Thank you. Yep. Let's go to Athens, Texas, and talk to Tim. Hey, Tim.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's up?
Good. Well, I've got on the north end of I have about an acre where I live out in the country a little bit. And on the north side of my property, where we don't have any grass, it's just some oak trees. It's a pretty good thicket. I've gone through and cleared it out. I've pruned the trees up to about probably 20 feet or 18 to 20 feet. I've done everything that I know. I did soil tests. I found out the soil is highly acidic underneath the trees. I put out pelletized lime to try to neutralize that so that I could grow some grass under there, but I can't get any grass to grow under that tree canopy.
Well,
I
wish you'd call me before you trimmed them up so high. A lot of times you can hurt your trees by trimming them and lifting them too high, and it does, as you have discovered, absolutely no good at all for helping grow the grass. We're either going to grow grass or we're going to grow trees, and we can't do both really well. Both of them want full sun, and the trees win that battle. So the only way you're going to grow grass Tim, really successfully, if you got real good, you know, healthy stand of trees, which it sounds like you do, is take some trees out. So what I would do if it were my property, I would plant some ground covers that can grow in the shade rather than trying to plant turf grasses, and just concentrate your turf grasses outside the tree line where they get where it gets plenty of sun. And then under the trees, we can plant ivies, Asian jasmine, ophiopogon, liriope, monkey grasses, you know, all of the shade-loving kinds of things. Or in some cases, just have shredded tree trimmings mulch. The trees love that. And keep the green stuff out beyond the trees. Save money.
Okay. All right, now, I have this. I'm going to ask your personal opinion on this and professional.
I'm going to have to put you on. You're going to have to hold with me, Tim. Hold on, and I'll answer your question when we come back. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be right back.
If you're a big sports fan like me, sometimes the best part about watching a football game are the pre- and post-game shows. Well, it's the same for probiotics. The most important part of probiotics are the prebiotics and postbiotics that come along. Not all probiotics have this superior combination. That's why I only buy Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. You see, prebiotics feed the probiotic colonies in your intestines, and postbiotics are the organic nutrients produced by Dr. O'Hara's 3-year fermentation process that become the foundation for long-term colonization of the good bacteria in your body. This is so important. No other probiotic formula has this. As I get older, I want to protect my health the best I can and use only the best supplements that are available. So, score a touchdown for your health. Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics today.
Touchdown!
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at natural health retailers and online. Don't accept a substitute.
Are you a gardener or farmer in need of organic weed control? Pure Grow Weed Crush is a natural, organic, non-selective weed control that kills broadleaf weeds, foxtail, chickweed, and other undesirable plants. It is fast-acting with visible results in 30 minutes and is safe to use around people and pets. Ask for Pure Grow Weed Crush in your favorite garden, feed, or hardware store. Learn more at puregrowusa.com or call 469-423-0712.
When various pains slow you down, you should reach for real-time pain relief. It's non-greasy, relieves pain in minutes, smells great, and contains no harmful chemicals, GMOs, parabens, or SLS. Ask for it at your favorite store. You can also order it today and receive a free $10 tube with your purchase of $10 or more by texting DIRT to 90407, calling 877-787-7180, or going to rtpr.com and using the promo code DIRT.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, let's go back and talk with Tim just a little bit more. What was the other thing I could help you with, Tim?
I have already gone considered going underneath the trees with a mulch, you know, to kind of just cover the ground.
Okay.
You sold me on diatomaceous earth a long time ago, but do I need to limit how much I put under the trees in that mulch to kind of keep the insects down?
I wouldn't worry about doing it at all, Tim, if it were mine. I think the DE would help the soil a little bit. I don't think it's going to help you with insects much at all, and I don't think you have to worry about that anyway. See, when diatomaceous earth touches soil, it's going to turn it into a moist condition. When DE is moist, it has absolutely zero power at killing an insect. It kills... I was wrong about it years ago myself because I've, you know, read what other people said, and I just kind of went along with everybody for a while on it, saying that diatomaceous earth killed by scratching up and lacerating their exoskeletons, you know, and getting in their joints and all that. Doesn't do any of that. What it does is that it dehydrates them. It pulls the moisture out of them, and that's how it kills them. Well, once it touches the soil... You know, it doesn't have that dehydrating ability. So I'd put the mulch in, forget the DE.
All right. Well, I do appreciate it. Y'all have a good day.
Okay. Thank you for saving money. Yeah. Talk to you later. Let's see what Nancy's up to here in Dallas. Hey, Nancy.
Hi. We're looking at planting a red sprite winterberry bush, and we wanted to know about whether we need or how we find out if it's male or female, if we could get from a local source, and we're replacing a dead Bradbury pear tree.
Okay, red spray what?
It's red sprite winterberry.
Winterberry, okay. I haven't grown it, Nancy, so I don't know whether you're going from a bad tree, which Bradford pear is, to something that's not as good. I'll look into it, and maybe next week I can have a little more information for you, and I'll look it up right now before I leave if I have time, but I probably won't. Let me give you a different way to go, a tip on some ornamental trees that I know about that would be really good, no doubt about it, okay?
Okay.
one top of the list would be Mexican plum. Mexican plum is a native tree to this part of the country. It has beautiful white flowers, very fragrant white flowers in the spring. It has lovely orange fall color that's a different color than any other tree's fall color. It's really a nice distinctive thing. It also has beautiful purple fruit late summer into fall that are about the size of a big marble. They're not edible so much like a regular eating plum. They're more for making jellies and jams. They're also good for wildlife. The other one would be Mexican buckeye. Two Mexican plants. Mexican buckeye would be the second one. And it has purple flowers in the spring. Generally, they bloom a little bit after the red buds bloom. And really, really pretty, really distinctive and beautiful foliage, very decorative seed pods in the fall and in the winter. And also the fall color is bright, bright yellow, beautiful. And then a third one that's a little bit larger than those two that I'd consider in the ornamental category. And nurseries are not good at all at having this plant in stock yet, so you may have to buy it mail order. It's called Persian ironwood. And Persian ironwood's other name, its genus name, it's sometimes sold by it instead of Persian ironwood, is Parotia. It's Parotia, Parotia. And it's a beautiful witch hazel-looking ornamental tree, beautiful exfoliating bark, foliage that has no insect or disease problems whatsoever, and beautiful either yellow or red fall color. So it's a great one.
Okay, well, we're looking for something small because it's a small part of our yard, but okay. We'll look at those others too.
Yeah, red sprayberry, I've made a note here. I'll look into it. You may be using a common name that I'm not familiar with. It may be something I'm familiar with, and if it is, I'll get back, talk about it next week on the show if I can't get to it by the end of the show. Dane, we're about done today, as you can see. But take a look at those others. It might give you some options, and you might want to try more than one. Try the winterberry, and let me know how it does for you.
Okay, we'll wait for your advice, too.
Okay, I'll put you in charge of that research, okay?
Okay, thanks
all
a
right.
lot.
Thank you Bye-bye. For calling. Well, we got one more calling in here. Let's see if we can work Ken in, and I'll just not get to my stuff, it looks like. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Harold Gerd, I'm sorry I have to call so late, but the question I have is I live out in Cedar Creek Lake, or I'm moving out there, and we've gotten probably 5 foot of rain in the last 4 months.
We all have.
And I got about 150,000 gallons of standing water on about 2 acres.
Okay, the use of hydrogen peroxide mixed 50-50 with water sprayed on everything, and then just do a version of what we call the sick tree treatment that's explained on my website on dirtdoctor.com. I'm going to put you on hold if you had something else, but I'm going to have
to run.
Okay, thank you for calling. John, I'll have to get with you next week. Thanks, everybody, for being there. Look at dirtdoctor.com and what I was going to tell you in detail was what all was on there, but I didn't get to it. Just go down all the way to the bottom of the page, and that includes the full moon and the moon conditions every day for you. See you next time.